Radical love, lavish generosity, extravagant forgiveness, inclusive hospitality, compassionate action, selfless service, a passion for justice, creative nonviolence, simple living. Good day, good people. I'm Robert Farrell. This is Coalesce. Thank you for joining me. Coalesce is grounded in both and thinking, heart wisdom, and listening for the common good arising in dialogue, where we are present to presence. Coalesce provides an opportunity to encounter and discover the multiple perspectives that make our beautiful community. May we see with the eyes of our heart. May we love one another with peace and compassion. May all beings come to know the divine presence within. This is episode 44, An Immanent Transcendent Fullness of Love, part 2. Brian Swim and Thomas Berry write, "There was no place in the universe that was separate from the originating power of the universe. Each thing of the universe has its very roots in this realm." In Colossians 3:11, "There is only Christ. He is everything, and He is in everything." Believe it or not, it was actually a Roman Catholic priest who first proposed the Big Bang theory of the origin of the universe. Georges Lemaître, a Belgian priest, astronomer, and physics professor, not only proposed the theory of the expansion of the universe, he was the first to note in 1927 that the expanding universe might be traced to a single point of origin called a singularity. Elio Delio describes, "Science would say it appeared like a quantum-sized blip on the screen and inflated rapidly like a balloon. Since that time, it has been expanding." End quote. Delio goes on to explain the implication for this cosmology, our story of the universe. She writes, "Every human person deserves to love and to be loved, to belong to another, because we come from another. We are born social and relational. We yearn to belong, to be part of a larger whole that includes not only friends and families, but neighbors, community, trees, flowers, sun, earth, stars. We are born of nature and are part of nature. That is, we are born into a web of life and part of a web of life. We cannot know what this means, however, without seeing ourselves within the story of the Big Bang universe. Human life must be traced back to the time when life was deeply one, a singularity, whereby the intensity of mass energy exploded into consciousness. Deep in our DNA, we belong to the stars, the trees, and the galaxies. Deep within, we long for unity because at the most fundamental level, we are already one. We belong to one another because we have the same source of love. The love that flows through the trees is the same love that flows through my being. We are deeply connected in this flow of love, beginning on the level of nature, where we are closest of kin because the earth is our mother." End quote. We began as one, and our goal is oneness. Studying evolution, Teilhard de Chardin found that increased complexity and increased consciousness, ironically, led to greater unity at a much higher level, which we would call love. We must always be reminded, it seems, that unity is not the same as uniformity, not at all. With increased complexity, there is actually greater diversity and a greater enjoyment of that very diversity, which is the fruit of love. As Teilhard says, everything that rises must converge. We are in the midst of that convergence today, and seemingly at an accelerated pace. both in terms of good and resistance to the good. Let us take this moment to rest in the convergence, with eyes closed and hands on heart. Rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. The full gospel itself, the good news, has a unique place in the world through its absolutely Christocentric lens. Most Christians know about Jesus of Nazareth, but very few know about the Christ, and even fewer were ever taught how to put the two together. Many still seem to think that Christ is Jesus' last name. By proclaiming my faith in Jesus Christ, I have made two acts of faith, one in Jesus and another in Christ. The times are demanding this full gospel of us now. Christian mysticism is primarily about God and the utter incarnate availability of God. It is about an intuition of Jesus as both the incarnate human one and the eternal cosmic Christ at the same time. The first and cosmic incarnation of the eternal Christ, the perfect coherence of matter and spirit, happened at the Big Bang 13.8 billion years ago. Also see Ephesians 1:3 through 11. Christians believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the human incarnation of that same mystery a mere 2,000 years ago, when we were perhaps ready for this revelation. Christ is not Jesus' last name, but the title of his historical and cosmic purpose. Jesus presents himself as the anointed or christened one, who was human and divine united in one human body, as our model and exemplar. Peter seems to get this at least once in Matthew 16:16, but like most of the church, he also seems to regress. Christ is our shortcut word for the body of God, or God materialized. The Christ is much bigger and older than either Jesus of Nazareth or the Christian religion, because the Christ is whenever the material and the divine coexist, which is always and everywhere. The conventional visualization of the physical world was changed by Einstein's special theory of relativity, which showed that matter itself was a form of energy. For all practical purposes, energy is the real world. There it is, science revealing that everything is both matter and energy, spirit, co-inhering as one. This is a Christocentric world. This realization changes everything. Matter has become a holy thing, and the material world is the place where we can comfortably worship God by just walking on matter, by loving it, by respecting it. The Christ is God's active power inside of the physical world. Through his penetrating view of the universe, Teilhard de Chardin found Christ present in the entire cosmos, from the least particle of matter to the convergent human community. The incarnation, he declared, is a making new of all the universe's forces and powers. personal divine love is invested organically with all of creation in the heart of matter, unifying the world. I think we are all sad to admit that organized Christianity has often resisted and opposed the true coming of the cosmic Christ. The coming of the cosmic Christ is not the same as the growth of the Christian religion. It is the unification of all things. Let us take this moment to connect with the unification of all things. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. John Duns Scotus lived from 1265 to 1308, and he said that Christ was the very first idea in the mind of God, and God, as it were, has never stopped thinking, dreaming, and creating the one eternal Christ. Thomas Aquinas, who lived from 1224 to 1274, adds, "The immense diversity and pluriformity of this creation more perfectly represents God than any one creature alone or by itself." This dance between God and the universe. God is eternal, self-sufficient divinity, yet the universe contributes something that is vitally necessary to God. Creation is integral to God. It contributes to God what God lacks in his or her own divinity, namely materiality. Evolution is not only the universe coming to be, but it is God who is coming to be. Some Christians are uncomfortable with the idea of evolution, although it's rather impossible to deny the fossil record. Perhaps they are afraid to allow themselves to go beyond a very literal reading of the Bible. Or perhaps they feel God is being replaced by scientific and natural laws. They may feel like evolution somehow takes away human dignity. But think about it. We all come from the same origin, the same God. Who else created the natural laws or the ability of scientists to discover scientific laws? And doesn't it make sense that God would create things that create themselves? Teilhard de Chardin said that evolution imparts a new identity to the human person. We are the arrow of evolution and the direction of its future. We are co-creators with God, and however a minor way, evolution discloses a new God, an immanent, transcendent fullness of love that inspires us to create a new earth with a new God rising from within. Evolution is whole-making in action. The rise of consciousness that realizes self-separateness is an illusion. For many of us, it's hard to imagine that God is actually evolving. We've heard that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Yes, and God is love, and God has always been love, and God will always be love. But God can also evolve to be more love. Surely you've noticed that it's the most loving people you know who want to be more loving. That's just the character of love. It's always expansive and multiplies itself. When we trust that our world and our own selves are evolving, we don't have to cling so tightly to everything being just so, to being correct and in control. God is not static, and neither is our universe. It is ever changing, with the possibility, through our participation, of evolving toward greater love and wholeness. But this outcome isn't guaranteed. Mary Evelyn Tucker and Brian Swim caution and encourage us, writing, "Our sense of the whole is emerging in a fresh way as we feel ourselves embraced by the evolutionary powers unfolding over time into forms of ever greater complexity and consciousness. We are realizing, too, that evolution moves forward with transitions such as the movement from inorganic matter to organic life, and from single-celled organisms to plants and animals that sweep through the evolutionary unfolding of the universe, the earth, the human. All such transitions come at times of crisis. They involve tremendous cost, and they result in new forms of creativity. The central reality of our times is that we are in such a transition moment. This is not an easy moment, as already human suffering and environment loss are widespread. It is not a guaranteed transition, as it will require tremendous human creativity, emotional intelligence, and spiritual strength." End quote. Yes, you are the second coming of Christ. Let us take this moment to connect with the imminent, transcendent fullness of love. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. The practice this week is titled The Christ Hymn. I invite you to take all this heady information and experience it at the heart level through music, poetry, and paintings. The song The Christ Hymn by Alana Lewandowski and a painting by Julie Ann Stevens creatively renders the hymn from Colossians 1:15 through 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the one who is first over all creation, because all things were created by him, both in the heavens and on the earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible. Whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He existed before all things, and all things are held together in him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the one who is firstborn among the dead, so that he might occupy the first place in everything. Because all the fullness of God was pleased to live in him, and he reconciled all things to himself through him, whether things on earth or in heavens. In the notes to this episode, I will include a YouTube link to the song The Christ Hymn by Alana Lewandowski, and it displays the painting by Julie Ann Stevens. Thank you for being with me. In the coming days, may you experience an imminent, transcendent fullness of love. Blessings to all.